And next up on Free Radio 101.3 FM and freakradio.org, it's Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, your Sunday show. Going to go long today and have mostly updated material, so don't go away. You may occasionally hear a distant lullaby in the background. I'm recording from an area which is not well insulated, so we're also getting material from other venues as well as this room, so don't be surprised. So I'm not sure if we're going to have time to do all these planned interviews, but there's plenty of stuff coming your way. There's interviews from San Lorenzo Park from a week ago. There's an interview with Mike Rhodes that I did, which I haven't been able to play, but gives an update on what's going on in Fresno. We talked to Keith McHenry on Saturday, as well as several times with Brent Adams on the San Lorenzo Park removal cleaning operation, as they call it. I'm going to have a lot of comments, of course, along the way about all kinds of other things. I've been able to kind of dredge up some of the rather badly recorded Public Safety Committee meeting of November 20th, and we're going to hear more from that, which has a discussion of the official line on San Lorenzo Park. So stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So, and welcome to the December 3rd, 2017 edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris. This is, of course, a recorded edition. It's recorded the day before, but I'm going to be saying today for Sunday, even though it's not my today yet, but it is your today as you listen to it. So don't be confused or misled. I'll try to be accurate in the dates I'm giving for different events that are coming up in the next week. And I'm up for incoming phone calls. The problem continues to be that this is a pre-recorded show. So if you call, you'll get me after the show is recorded, but I will be happy to talk with you, even interview you, if you've got some information you think is airworthy. Or maybe you don't know if it's airworthy, but just you can find out. It's about life outside, about what city officials are doing, about what your opinions are on what you've heard on the show or what you haven't heard on the show and you think should be on the show, because I'm largely concerned with poor and homeless people. I'm interested. And the number to call is, as ever, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, 423-HUFF. HUFF is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom as well. It's an acronym for that organization, which now meets twice weekly at the Sub Rosa Cafe every other Wednesday. And I guess the next Wednesday meeting is going to be the 13th of December. Won't be this next Wednesday. It'll be the Wednesday after. That's at 7:03 Pacific, I believe. I hope I haven't got that right. I mean, I hope I have got that right, and I hope it's... what it is, it's right next to the bike church for new listeners who don't know where the Sub Rosa Cafe is. And no, we don't have a studio yet, although I am angling and I think likely to have a phone line put in here where I'm doing this show. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but I suspect it's going to be fairly soon. I've had my equipment upgraded recently. Thank you, R. Duck, an esteemed broadcaster here on Free Radio. And Free Radio is struggling to find a studio. We still want one. We'll still pay you $500 if you find one for a year. Less if you find one for a smaller portion of a year, kind of proportionately, you'll get a reward based upon how much time we have in that location you found for us. It's a 10 by 10 space for new listeners. You got to have access to internet, access to electricity, access to a bathroom. Keep your eyes open. It could be outside. We can build a shed. And again, even if many of you have heard this message before, see what you can do, because though we do have die-hard broadcasters who will continue regardless, it's true that our broadcasting personnel roster is shrinking, I think, because we don't have enough, well, we don't have a stable location. It's actually, that's not technically true. Actually, in the last couple of weeks, we've gotten a new broadcaster, but it's a very small number of people, and it's really critical we get a studio, as we've been saying for a long time. And you might say to yourself, well, Free Radio is, you know, it's a nice thing to have, but, you know, there is this other radio station trying to open up take the place of, I think it's KZSC, no, not KZSC, but KSCO, no, it's not KSCO, KUSP, I believe, was the station that went down. And there's a bunch of folks trying to get together to create their own station. And that's good. That's fine. But they have to abide by FCC restrictions. They also, frankly, I'm worried about sort of, there's a kind of elite, an elitist attitude among mainstream and so-called alternative media in this community that means you aren't going to get really gritty down-home voices from the street and from poor neighborhoods unless it fits into the sort of dimensions of the broadcasting world as it's conceived by those who consider themselves to be experts and consider themselves to be of a higher class and a higher quality and more experienced and also essentially more in tune with establishment politics. In Santa Cruz, establishment politics is Democratic Party politics. Even the Bernie people were rounded up to jump on the Russiagate hysteria with, which actually I didn't read much about in the paper, so maybe it never came off, but it was announced as a whole series of protests on the highway above the Highway 1, demanding that Trump answer for his Russian handlers or whatever. This mythology that's been used to justify the loss of Hillary Clinton's loss of election instead of her Goldman Sachs corporate ducking and dodging, her sabotaging and a manipulation of funding in the Democratic Party and essentially the shutting out of any democracy in the whole Clinton versus Sanders campaign. Anyway, the local folks here, the local Democrats, I don't see any indication that they're really turning to issues other than anti-Trump, 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 instead of anti-Trumpism, which really means dumping the leadership, if not the entire reality of both the political parties that have steered us into murderous foreign wars and corporate dominance. So, support a local radio station that actually has a lot of alternative stuff. That's us. And look skeptically along other radio stations as well. I'm not saying that the incoming radio station, I think there are even a few former Free Radio broadcasters who are a part of that, like Ann Simonton. But I'm skeptical, and I hope you are too. So, let me begin with a few announcements. Make sure I'm not distorting too much here. On Tuesday, December 5th, there's going to be a couple of events happening. One of them is the ACLU Evening Forum at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. It's going to be a free speech and hateful times forum. Navigating the First Amendment after Charlottesville, And there's a lengthy description of this on Indie Bay, Santa Cruz Indie Media, which I will sort of reference here. I can find the damn thing. I think, yeah, that's it. Here we go. It starts at 7, runs to 9. It's free. It features two speakers. And let me tell you who those two speakers are. Charlotte Sun, Associate Director and Legal and Policy Director of the ACLU of Northern California. Zara Bilou, I hope I have her name right or his name right, Executive Director of the San Francisco Bay Area Chapter of CAIRN, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, moderated by the local ACLU's chair, Peter Geldblum. And I go into sort of a rant about this when I have an interview later in the show with activist Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs, because Food Not Bombs is one of the endorsers of this particular event. RCNV, the Resource Center, is one. NAACP is another. Then there's the People United for Peace of Santa Cruz County. That's a group I've never heard of. There's the Code Pink Santa Cruz. I'm surprised. Veterans for Peace, Chapter 11. Jewish Voice for Peace. And then Santa Cruz Food Not Bomb. Santa Cruz County Community Coalition to Overcome Racism. It hasn't really been doing much overcoming, but did get a lot of funding at one time. We had a lot of computers, hired some interns, and ignored all the complaints that they got, and they put out all their forums in four different countywide forums. The Progressive Christian Forum and Showing Up for Racial Justice, Santa Cruz Sanctuary, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and the Santa Cruz for Bernie. So a lot of liberal groups are going to be there for this event. It's free. They, I think, are inviting you to, well, I'm not sure what the story is. It's going to be, again, from 7 to 9 on Tuesday at 612 Ocean Street. And, you know, it's, well, it's there if you want to go there. And who knows, I may go there too. It's the same night as a special session of the Santa Cruz City Council, where all they're going to be doing is electing the mayor. That is essentially crowning David Terrazas. I think that starts at 7:30 at City Hall. I could be wrong. It could be 7, but I think it's 7:30. And I'll be talking about the afternoon session of this special session of City Council as well. My problems with the ACLU, I continue to bring out, which is that they are one of these establishment groups that pays no attention or very little attention or only token attention to local civil liberties violations against poor people and against the community generally. And I of course, have focused on the ones that impact those who are unhoused and outside and on the streets and counterculture. But it really impacts everyone, and one sees this sort of and I feel it too, nervousness about offending politicians who you want to, oh, I don't know, use as sources, join in coalition with on votes, and so forth. So there's going to be a lot of jabbering about the issue of hate speech. You know, how far can the ACLU go in defending Nazi rallies and alt-right demonstrations, and what about violence against those folks? Really non-issues in Santa Cruz in the sense that there are no large rallies of that kind. There are such rallies in San Jose, and there are, or have been, and have been up in the Bay Area and in Berkeley, and that's an issue for them. I happen to think it's kind of a phony issue in a way. I mean, I'm a big fan of the First Amendment generally, even for cranks, Nazis, First Earthers, and so forth, because I think the real enemy are strong people in the government and the corporations that need to be attacked in power, not the the people who are out of power and who are demonstrating, even if they are of right-wing views, which I am in definite disagreement with, particularly when those views are in power. But the issue in Santa Cruz, as far as I can see, has to do with how our local civil liberties are being bartered away in the back rooms or in the front rooms of city council meetings and through the city manager and other agencies, and essentially accepted by existing political organizations from time immemorial, even the Green Party. And I've talked about this at length in years past, elected a mayor, Tim Fitzmaurice, who went after activists, us, in Huff at least, and also ignored the issues that he was elected on. I mean, you see this same phenomena, real issues, war and peace, rent control, landlord profiteering, police abuse. None of these issues get addressed at all by the existing political establishment, and the even the political critics, the political establishment, seem to be more interested in sort of academic discussions or discussions of what's happening far away than local issues. We don't. There's a curfew around City Hall that extends from 6 o'clock onward, which means that a person can't hold up a political sign there after dark. There's all kinds of curfews in most of the parks, which have been sort of suspended, at least in San Lorenzo Park. And it's not clear exactly what's going on in the Poganip. I haven't yet gotten the results of a Public Records Act request to see if there has been a falling off of citations, which won't tell us everything because you don't get to see what harassment happens short of citations, but still. In any case, ACLU, although it... Such issues have been brought up recently by people like Abby Samuels. And that was a collision of my microphone. My apologies, folks, but don't go away. We're going to rectify that. So having made that point, let me again point out that if you want to go to this event, it is available. And... I mean, I'm afraid if you have questions to ask that might raise local issues about this kind of stuff, they're going to be passing around the 3x5 cards, which usually suddenly makes the people running the event the sort of the gatekeepers of any questions that are asked, and make sure that everything turns out in a sort of a vanilla, safe, non-confrontational kind of format. Which is the exact opposite of what the original ACLU was formed to do, and what I think we need have done in this community and other communities. So, I mean, just a final few remarks about this. Who cares if there are no meaningful protests going on at any length, if it's become illegal to hold up a political sign on the median of a highway, as has traditionally been the reality in Santa Cruz, at least until about 4 or 5 years ago, when the Terrazas Public Hysteria Committee brought us the median ordinance to get rid of panhandlers on the median, which didn't get rid of panhandlers, they're still there, but has intimidated activists from holding up signs there because they want to be very, very legal, don't you know? And while I'd be the, if not the first, at least I would be one to follow along in the support of Andy Mills and Mauro Garcia's recent, God, we can't do anything else with them, so let them stay in San Lorenzo Park for the time being, for God's sake, until we can figure out a way to get rid of them. Approach to allowing camping at night, ceasing enforcement of the sleeping ban at night, provided it's on public property and there are no other problems, and also supposedly ending the patrolling by Parks and Rec Rangers after 9 o'clock at night. We'll see, as I say, if that results in an actual diminution of citations in the Poganip. There are were some preliminary figures I saw coming out of this Public Safety Committee meeting from late November, which I finally got a crappy audio of and will be playing part of shortly, probably next, actually. I'll do that next. Which indicate there has been a drop-off to some extent in citations. Not too clear about stay-away orders, but these for those newcomers and those who don't know or those who prefer to forget or don't want to think about it, and I'm probably one of those, the stay-away order is something that an individual cop can or may not give, depending on what she or he wants to do, depending on how they feel about the situation, having nothing to do with anything other than the fact that they're at the same time giving out an infraction citation. And they can then make the person stay away from that park for three days and three nights, 72 hours. If they come back, they face a year in jail and a $1,000 fine as a possible maximum sentence. Although I haven't heard of anyone being tried or convicted for that. I want to be candid about that. And didn't find any in the records I was looking for in the last year or two, starting with last July, going back. But our search was not as methodical as it might be, and we only looked at parks and rec events, arrests, and so forth, not police actions yet. That's something I'm still looking for more person power, and if anybody out there wants to help with any kind of public records work, now is the time to belly up to the bar and offer to help. And the number is 423-4833 if you want to call in and offer to help out in that regard. So, again, this latest rant is about the idea of public spaces being forbidden zones, primarily as a way of allaying the anxieties of residents in some neighborhoods around parks, also the political platforms of some right-wing groups who have climbed to power on the backs of these so-called public safety issues, which have to do with mostly drug use and improper needle disposal. And these are the same people who don't want to see more Sharps containers around. And they want to end needle exchange. They claim that that's the reason we have so many needles, because of needle exchange, rather than, let's say, other factors that prompt drug use. So these are the issues that the ACLU locally has taken no strong public positions on, that at least they're pushing. Instead, we're getting these high-profile, glitzy celebrities from out of town coming in talking about, I don't want to call them identity issues. They're not really identity issues. They're interesting issues. I mean, I think it's certainly, it's something you talk about perhaps in the university. But if you're talking about rents driving people out of town, police officers cracking down on people once they're ousted from lodging because of the rents, you got to talk about the civil liberties in Santa Cruz that are disappearing, the nature of the town that's changing because of the gentrification that's going on, and that's impact on civil liberties. And that's not an issue for the ACLU. I mean, most of these folks have comfortable homes, and they're living up on the west side or wherever they're living. And so why should they give a shit? I mean, come on, be real. Well, I said I would go to the Public Safety Committee, as Terrazas and the City Council call their little group that sends out really venomous legislation that attacks homeless people. But I think what I'm going to do first is go to the homeless folks in San Lorenzo Park that I was talking to about a week ago and continue that audio so we can hear what they have to say, since you can actually hear Terrazas online. And I'm going to play some of him because some of the things they're saying are interesting, and the discussion is about San Lorenzo Park there. But first, let's pick up on where we left off on Sunday with the San Lorenzo Park discussion that I think happened about at the end of November, Saturday before last. So it was the last Saturday in November. Oh, and apologies again. Here's a real quickie. I was making announcements, and so I guess I should finish the announcements first before jumping back to San Lorenzo Park. There is an event happening today, Sunday the 3rd of December, All Governments Lie and Merchants of Doubt, two movies that are going to be happening where are they happening? Goodness. Hang on, let me check. So, Tantanka's Living Room is the, apparently it's an music and community improvisation with piano, native drum, spoken word by Tantanka Bricka, a performance that happens involving a potluck at the Resource for Nonviolence, I think, if I understand this properly. I hope I'm not giving misinformation to you folks out there. But this particular event that is coming up today, well, this email that I got does not give a time, or does not give a place, except Tananka's Living Room. These are two films. All Governments Lie at 1 p.m. today, Sunday, and Merchants of Doubt at 3 o'clock. And also there's going to be a Q&A session moderated by Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcaster John Malkin. It's going to cost $7.20, but no one is going to be turned away for lack of funds, according to this Indie Bay story, or Indie Bay calendar announcement. Description is new powerful movement movies hosted by Tantanka's Living Room at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. I guess that's where it is, 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. Mark your calendar. All Governments Lie, Truth, Deception, and the Spirit of I.F. Stone, the latest documentary by Oliver Stone. Featuring interviews with independent journalists Amy Goodman, Glenn Greenwald, Jeremy Scahill, Matt Taibbi, Carl Bernstein, Noam Chomsky, David Korn, Aloha Carlos Frey, Chris Hedges, Anna Kasparian, Michael Moore, Ralph Nader, Narmin Kach, and Kank Ugyur. Moderator John Malkin, who of course is a local esteemed author, according to this, and he's written a book or two. I haven't read it, but go John. Musician and journalist. Preceded by a short teaser trailer, Song of the Kalahari, sponsored by the Kalahari Bushmen of Africa, introduced and produced by Athena Garn. And then there's a potluck munchie intermission, bring your own goodies, deposit in the community room. No snacks in the theater during the show. Sounds like the Del Mar, unless you buy their food. I should say the Cinema 9. Del Mar is probably better about that. Then there's Merchants of Doubt at 3:15 p.m., a must-see film for any and all humans committed to environmental sustainability, arresting and turning around global warming. How climate deniers were created and manufactured by the same corporations that created lies for big tobacco. Moderated brief discussion by Tatanka, Bricka, and Carol Lowenstein. They're looking for $7 to $20 donations, but no one will be turned away. And all donations cover costs to the RCNV and then to Romero Institute's Lakota Law Project to support Danny Sheehan's legal defense of Chase Iron Eyes and the water protectors at Standing Rock, and to Romero's ongoing green power campaign to reverse global warming. And now let's hear a little David Rovics to break up my droning voice.